Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 5 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Philippians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Lord, many people will pray to a piece of wood or stone or a statue. There's no life. They'll go to a tomb and pray to something that has died. But thank you that we have a God that does not die. One that conquered death and one that created all things for us. Thank you for being in control for us. And Lord, as we travel the pages of your book, you asked us to trust you, so that's what we do. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We need your power. We need your presence. We need a change in our life so that we could be more like you. Please use our preacher today to do that for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, my sermon is going to be a sermon to help us launch into the new year. This is, of course, the month of January, and traditionally people attempt to try to get it together in this part of the year. We try so hard to use this month and these first couple of weeks to launch ourselves towards success. To some, it is a time when we try to get ourselves a little better organized. People make their New Year's resolutions. They decide, I'm going to resolve to do this or to do that, and we often use the beginning of the year to accomplish that. We use this part of the year to fix ourselves. We look back and we say, you know, I've got this about me or that about me, and it needs adjusted, and it needs fixed. Oh, maybe it is. We're going to decide that we're going to read our Bible all the way through, which I would highly recommend to you. Everybody ought to read the Bible all the way through at least one time in their life, and maybe often, maybe for you every year. But the month of January, the beginning weeks, is so often the time when we attempt to do something like that. I'm going to talk to you about how I pretty well run my life, what I do, how I've decided it, what's the system by which I have chosen to monitor or run my life. I'm going to give you the title. Now, to be honest, the title of this sermon will not make sense until the very end of this sermon. The title is What It Means to Be a Disciple. Now, that title is not going to make sense until the last couple of statements I make all the way at the end of this sermon, but the sermon is called What It Means to Be a Disciple. Let me read to you again a passage of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I want you to notice here, in this text, we see God telling us to organize that which we're going to think about. Notice he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good, and if there be any virtue or praise, think on these things. God is saying, you need to organize what you're going to think about. Think on these things, he says in verse number 8. See, God is recommending that you think about what you are going to think about. You won't get your life in order until you get your thinking in order. Now, folks, to some of you, what I'm going to say could push a reset button in your life. You could get back to some things that you've left out of your life. For some of you, what I'm going to say, for the first time in your life, you'll see how organized your thinking and your life ought to be. Now, to some, it won't mean anything to you, and it'll just be another day of a social visit down at the church house so you can get it over with and go back to living your life the way you have been. But I wish that somebody would listen. The sermon today is not the kind of sermon that I preach for today to get it over with and then we go back to our life as it was before. Somebody here, if you'll take what I teach today, you could live this sermon the rest of your life. It could change the rest of your life. You see, God is saying to you and I that we ought to think about what we're going to think about. And again, you cannot get your life in order until you get your thinking in order. A Christian's success or failure in life can be measured by their priorities. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Maybe the greatest cause of failure in the Christian life is our misunderstanding or our inability to organize the priorities of our life. See, successful people have more things to do than they have time to do them. Let me say that again. Successful people have more things to do than they have time to do them. If you sat there today and you say, well, I have plenty of time for everything, then you're not busy enough, nor are you as successful as what you ought to be. Because successful people have more to do than they have time to do them. When you have many things to do, then it's easy to get those things out of order. If I were to describe many of your lives and the frustration and the failures of your life, it is because your life is out of order. It is not organized. When I do not know how to get everything done that needs to be done, I begin to fail. And I don't want that in my life. Listen, let me read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. And in this verse, God is recommending to us some organization in our lives. And God is recommending to us that we get our life in order. The Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You notice something here? There God's saying, get things in order. Add this to your life, and add this to your life. And he's line upon line, precept upon precept. God is saying, there's a way for you to think. There's a way for you to organize your life. There's a way you should get it together in your life. Folks, a lack of order is a great contributor to our committing of sin. When we do not do what we're supposed to do, when we do not do it when we're supposed to do it, we often find sin entering the picture. Again, a lack of order in the Christian life is a big contributor to our committing of sins. And again, when we do not do what we are supposed to do, or when we do not do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it, sin often enters the picture. You know, for some reason, the most important things in our lives are not the things that attack us for our time. So many times, it's the little things of life that eat up our life, when there are bigger things that ought to be taking a prominent role in our life. It seems like that it is the little unimportant things that clamor for our time. Important things are done because they're planned or scheduled. Many of you don't do the important things because you did not plan to do the important things. Unimportant things fight for our attention. unimportant or less important things fight to eat up our time. Here's what happens in so many people's lives. We let little things eat up our life, and then the big things of life do not get accomplished. We therefore minimize our success, or we therefore virtually fail. The less important things can virtually become an enemy to the more important things. The lesser priority things in life can become an enemy to the high priority things of life, because it's the little things of life that seem to eat up all of our time, and then the big things of life, we don't have time to do them. I'm going to give you, for instance, anybody here that truly goes to prayer, here's what happens to you. Prayer, a big thing. You say, I have decided, I have scheduled myself to go to prayer. So we go to prayer, and while we're praying, every little thing possible comes to mind to try to eat up our prayer time so we don't do the big thing. Are you like that? I can go to prayer, and all of a sudden I think, oh, I remember where I put that ink pen. Oh. I want to remember to pick up the macaroni and the cheese. What good night in the morning. How important is a macaroni and cheese when I'm going into the presence of God? But what happens is the little things try to eat up the time of the big things, and the little things that will not make us a success eat up the scheduled time for the big things, and then we find ourselves saying, I didn't get the big things done. And if you don't get the big things done in life, you fail.
Right.
You fail. Successful people are not lucky people. Successful people are people who have learned how to live a disciplined life. Successful people are people who understand priorities and then schedule themselves to do those priorities. Successful people bring order to both their private world and their public world. Now, let me explain. Those of you that only bring order or organization to your public world will only succeed so long. You must get organization in your private world to sustain your organization in your public world. You see, everybody wants to look like they have it together publicly. But you will only have it together publicly so long if you do not get it together privately. This sermon is not about our situation with Brother Bajan, but let me say something to those of you that understand the man. The man will hold it together publicly, but I guarantee you he has it together privately in his spiritual life. When he stands and says to me, preacher, I'm not afraid. The God that I've served all these years will sustain me and take care of me. I've got faith in the God that I've been serving. Now, he could say that publicly, but there is a peace about him, and it's very recognizable. He has it privately, and he expresses it publicly. Some of you don't have it privately. Let me tell you this. If you don't get a walk with God privately, you can only fake it so long publicly. And again, I say to you, successful people are people who have learned how to live a disciplined life, and successful people are the ones that understand priorities and then schedule them and do those priorities. And successful people bring order to both their private world and to their public world. Successful people schedule their priorities and then let that schedule dictate their life. Now, what I'm going to say is good for a single person or a married person. What I'm going to say this morning is good for young people. There are some teenagers in here. You need to learn what I'm going to teach this morning. But wait a minute. It's good for the young and it's good for the old. It's good for the men. It's good for the women. Hey, all of what I'm going to say is going to help all of us. Now, to the younger children, their life will basically be in submission to mom and dad. But mom and dad, your children ought to be learning how to get their life organized by watching you. They are going to be, your children will be no more organized than you are. Because they're following you. Now, when teenagers start growing up, they get some order, they get some organization, they get some schedule to their life. But the little ones, they will be no more organized than Mama is, and they'll be no more organized than Daddy is, and so they're going to learn to either order their life. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The children will be no more organized than Mom and Dad. Now, when they grow up, they'll either learn organization by example from Mom and Dad, or they'll learn to be disorganized in life from Mom and Dad. But if you want to be successful, you're going to have to get it together. For some of you, you're living your life, but you're not fulfilling the purpose of God for your life because you don't have it together. You don't have your life organized. I'm talking to you about the proper use of your life. I call the sermon what it means to be a disciple. Now you stay with me, we're going to get even more practical. Let this launch us into 2010, which I happen to believe is going to be the greatest year this church has ever seen. It'll only be the greatest year this church has ever seen as if its membership has the greatest year each member's ever seen. First of all, here's what I'm going to recommend. If you'd like to get your life together, if you'd like to organize your life, if you'd like to get the most out of your life, this is what you're going to have to do. Here's what I've done with my life. Number one, I make a list of all my responsibilities. You may need to sit down and make a list of all your responsibilities. You say, I've got just so much to do. Can't even remember it all. And that's a good reason to make a list. Number one, you make a list of all your responsibilities. Sit down and virtually write down your obligations. Sit down and write out your responsibilities. For most of you, this will be a long list. It will be a long list. Write down the big duties that you have in life and write down the little duties that you have in life. Some of you young people, you teenagers, say, I'm just not getting it all done. Sit down on purpose, make a list of what needs to be done. You're going to have to plan to be successful. You will not succeed thoroughly beyond your ability to plan and organize your life. So write down the big responsibilities. Write down the little responsibilities. You say, what am I doing? You're going to organize your life. Some of you let life happen to you. I don't want to let life happen to me. I want to happen to life. I'm not going to just live it and let it just happen. I'm doing something. I'm going to do it on purpose. I don't want to waste it. I want to use it. Life is short. You better use it properly. So sit down and make a list of your responsibilities. If you've got to take a day or two, take a day or two to work on your list and make sure that it is thorough. Get a grasp on what you've committed to do. Get a grasp on what you're supposed to do. Get a grasp on your commitments. Get a grasp on your responsibilities. Some of you, you've forgotten about responsibilities. Well, if you have, you're failing in that area. So the first thing I do is, number one, I'd make a list of all my responsibilities in life. Then what do I do? Number two, now you've got to put your responsibilities in order. Well, how do I know the proper order? Let the Bible be your guide. So I sit down and write down every responsibility that I feel like I have in life. Now what am I going to do? I've got to put them in order. I've got to prioritize my responsibilities, my duties, and my obligations. And I will go to the book that God wrote to help me to know what my priorities in life are. Remember, people that don't succeed do not know how to get the right things put at the top of their list in life. They end up wasting their life on little things instead of doing the big things in life. And we say, I just don't have time. Well, there's time to do what you're supposed to do. So now I've got to take my list of responsibilities and I've got to put them in an order, and I'm going to let the Bible help me with that order. I'm going to do them in God's order. Here's where we mess up. We know there's some responsibilities and you and I say, I'll do them in the way I think they ought to be done. No, you need to learn to do them the way God thinks they ought to be done. You say, I'll pick the order. I want to pick what's most important. That's where the human race gets in trouble. The human race will put God at the end of the priority list and put money at the top of the priority list. I'm telling you folks, that won't work. If you want to be a true success and fulfill the will of God and the purpose of your life, you better write down everything you're supposed to do. Then you better figure out what is most important and what is less important. You say, how do I decide that? Let God decide your priorities. God knows what He's doing. He is the creator of the human race. instance, I am a pastor. I must put my duties as a pastor in order. I put my duties as pastor in order according to the Bible.
Good.
And listen, it is as important for me as a pastor to keep order in my duties as it is for you. Whatever God has in your life is as important as what God has for in my life. Now, as a pastor, I've got to take my duty seriously. I take them to God and I say, now, God, help me to organize my duties. What am I supposed to do with my duties? Now, there are three titles given in the Bible for pastor. Each one of them describes a part of my responsibilities. You'll see the term pastor in the Bible. You'll see the term elder in the Bible. You'll see the term bishop in the Bible. All of those are describing the pastor. Pastor, elder, and bishop. What is a bishop? The word bishop means overseer. I am the overseer of what goes on around the church. It does not mean that I do everything, but I oversee everything. That's one of my responsibilities. Any of you have been around the New Testament church for long, you know that the pastor is the overseer of the church. Now, it does not mean that I attend everything, but I'm the overseer of everything. I had to make a priority decision the other night. Brother Bajet, Mrs. Bajet was up at a hospital. They got some pretty rough news. Mrs. Owens and I, we had plans. We were going to be at the homecoming. Mrs. Owens was going to crown the queen. I was going to slam dunk a couple times behind the back. But I felt the priority was that I needed to get to one of my best men and be there for him at that hospital. So what happened? Ball game went to the bottom of the list. The man of God went to the top of the list. Why? I know my priorities. I do not let you set my priorities. I set my priorities. That's my obligation to God. It doesn't mean, see, this word bishop, it does not mean that I plan everything, but I oversee everything. I don't attend everything, but I oversee everything. It does not mean that I do everything. I oversee everything. That is one of the descriptions of pastor.
Yes.
Now, another description is the word elder. I'm given the responsibility then to advise my members. It's one of the descriptions of a pastor. The elder is referring to someone with experience. When we say to the young people, go to your elders, what are we saying? We're saying that that person is older, wiser, and has some experience, and you need to get to them to get advice. I am an elder in the church. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm older than you. I'm 15, I'm 20 years older than you. That may be the case. I'm not trying to say something good about myself, but God gives a pastor a thing called wisdom, and God gives a pastor an insight into life. Your life is my business. And I want you to succeed. And God is saying, the pastor is the elder. He is the one from whom you can seek advice and you can get advice. So, as a bishop, pastor, I am to be an overseer. As an elder, I am to advise people. Why? This is part of my priorities as a pastor. This is counseling. I counted, I pulled my schedule book out, and I look back over an average week. I will counsel somewhere between 60 and 100 people every week of my life right here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And any of you know me, I'm always with our people trying to advise them about life. Day in, day out. I'll be at this office sometimes on a Sunday night and Wednesday night for an hour and a half after the church service is gone and everybody's on their way home. What am I doing? I'm being an elder. Because that's one of my responsibilities. Well, you say, what are you talking now? Why are you saying this, Brother Owens? I'm showing you the priorities that God's given me. And I must follow those priorities. Then there's the word pastor. So we've seen the pastor is called pastor, he's called elder, he's called bishop. Now that word pastor means I'm responsible. One of my responsibilities is being a shepherd to the church. I'm to feed my people. I'm to warn my people like a shepherd would the sheep. I am to protect my people. Let me say to you, I must keep at the top of my priority list time to study the Word of God so I can come to this sacred desk called the pulpit and feed my people. I must. Hey, I may not be able to go to a baseball game, but I'll tell you this, I do not shortchange this church in regard to having been in my Bible, opening this book up, coming to this pulpit, and giving you a meal that will feed you and feed your children and feed your husband and feed your wife and make you strong as a sheep. That's my job. Now, there are people who would like to rearrange my job and tell me how to do my priorities, but I'm sorry. I've got to follow these priorities. Why? I want to succeed in life. And I have to figure out what my priorities are. I've got to figure them out. Now, these are my duties according to the Bible. These are God's priorities for me. Many of you have other things you think I should do. Now, your desires for me may not be bad, but I must keep things in their proper priority. I must stay after the priorities God's given me. As a pastor, I must keep my priorities in order. Let me tell you, my top priority, you say, how do you see it, Brother Owens? I feel like I cannot let anything stop me from my prayer time. I must be with God enough that His Holy Spirit will be present in this place. You forgive me if I can't do anything and everything you want me to do. But when I get so busy with secondary things that I do not have time to be with God, to ask His power on this place, then we're going to mess up our church. We're going to mess up our church. Not only that, at the top of my list, I've got to have time to pray. At the top of my list, I've got to have time in this book so I can feed the people. I don't want to serve up warmed over sermons. I don't want people to come to the church and be bored stiff all the time the preaching's going on. I want people to walk out of here and say, that was good for my soul. Oh, that changed my life. I have to tell you this, and top of my priorities is the administrative and the business end of the church. Now, I thank God, Brother Mongan and some of the people that helped me with the business end of the church, he's always concerned. He said, preacher, I don't want you to get so bogged down with the business you don't have time to pray and you don't have time to study your Bible. I thank God for that. If I get so bogged down taking care of Martinsburg Christian Academy, if I get so bogged down taking care of all the business, then I don't have time to pray and I don't have time to read my Bible and make sure I'm giving you something worthy. What'll happen? We'll get the priorities out of sync for the pastor, and then before long the whole thing will start falling apart. I think my advising and my counseling the people, it's my time with individuals to help them with their lives. Those are priorities in my life. So if you want to understand my priorities, I will not let this work stop me from praying. I will not let this work stop me from preparing the sermons I'm to feed you. I have to do the business at the end of the church. I have to make sure I'm spending time with the people and counseling and helping them. Now, I must not let secondary things keep me from doing my scheduled and primary duties. You say, why are you telling me this? Because you're supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to figure out what your priorities are. Then you go to the Bible and you let God help you to figure them out so you can do what you're supposed to do. You should be as successful in your endeavors in life as you want me to be successful in my endeavors of life. You say, what did you do? I wrote down my responsibilities. Then what did you do? I went to the Bible. I said, God, help me to put these in their proper order so I do the big things first and I leave the other things for later. Let me give you an example. The New Testament church, there was the need of caring for widows. The widows, though, at a time, and many of you have read this in the book of Acts, the widows had been ignored some. The pastor was ending up using all of his time caring for the widows' needs. And the disciples realized that the pastor was so busy caring for the widow's needs that the pastor was not able to do his priority things. He was not able to pray. He was not able to study. He was not able to counsel. So God instituted the office of deacon to help serve widows and the pastor so the pastor would have time to take care of prayer and Bible study. Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. You see that? To prayer and the ministry of the Word. God came along and God said, I've noticed there are some things that, hey, the care of the widows, oh, that's high on the list. But God said, you've got to be careful. If you get so busy with that, you won't do the other thing. So I'm going to get a group of people to help care for that so you can stay after your priorities. Now, I think everybody here, if you've listened to what I said, you understand you have responsibilities in life. Write them down. Then, the next thing you do is you go to the Bible and you let the Bible start helping you to sort through your responsibilities to put them into a proper priority list. You say, well, Brother Owens, help me now. Take me further than this, all right? As a wife, God gives a wife a biblical order of priority. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as fit unto the Lord. Woman was created by God for the purpose of fulfilling her man. God created woman for the man, not man for the woman. A wife's priority is to her husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9 says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. A woman, therefore, you've got to get this into your thinking if you want to live according to the Bible. A woman, therefore, should place her biblical obligation of helping her husband at the top of her list. Every decision should be, honey, how would this affect you? Above your children. Husbands are there before children. They're supposed to be. The wife puts her husband above the children. The wife puts her husband above her parents. The wife puts her husband above her secular career. I want proper order in life. You say, but oh, I love the success that we see around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. If you want that kind of success, you're going to have to go to the Bible and get that kind of success. You say, how do I do it? God said, I want everything done decently and in order. Whose order? God said, my order. I'll tell you the order if you want success. So you said earlier, preacher, I backed you on that thing that you have plenty of time in prayer and Bible reading and soul winning and administration. Do you back me on the importance of you doing yours in order? You will be no more successful than you will follow the order of the Bible. Husbands, you say, well, what about my order? As a husband, God gives you the order, an order of priority to help you to set up your success. Man was made for work. God commanded Adam to take care of the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:15 said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Genesis 3:19 says, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, shalt thou return to the ground. Man's priority in life is to do his work. Ladies, if you got a hard-working man, you ought to thank God he understands something about the priorities of a man. He is to work. Hey, this is not just secular work. A man is to work for God. And a man is to, he is to work and be a provider in the home. It's very clear. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but the priority is the man is a provider in the home. The man is a provider in the home. I'm not telling you that a lady could not work, but I'm telling you, any time your work takes the place of your man being a priority in your life, there's a problem. Now, if the husband says, I'm good with that, I'm okay with that, well, that's okay. He can say to the wife, it's okay for you to do that. Now, man's priority in life is to do his work for God, his work to provide for the wife, his work for the children. Man is to be a protector and a provider, not vice versa. When these rules of propriety and priority are not followed, failure often comes. You say, I'm a child. Help me with my priorities. I will. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You say, Brother Owens, I'm 10 years old. What are my priorities in life? To do what you're told. You say, I'm a teenager. What's my duty in life? Shut up and do what your daddy said. So I want to have proper priorities and do what your mama said. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The role or the priorities of a child is to obey their parents in all things. Put your parents first. Put your parents' desires above your own desires. You say, now, let me give you something else. God gives priorities and an order of priorities to followers. Followers' priorities are to be what God has given the leader to do.
Yes, sir.
Example, a child's priority is to do what God wants, what God has given the parent to do.
Yes.
So here, the follower, the child, is told, do what God has given the parent to do. Does that make sense to you? God gives priority to followers, and that is that they are to follow the priority that God's given the leader. Example, a wife's priority is to do what God has led the husband to do. When Nathan Owens felt called to the mission field, Carrie Owens' call was to go with her husband to go to the mission field. Nathan said, God called me to the mission field. Carrie didn't say, well, God called me to New York. Her priority was to him. His priority was to God. Hers was settled the minute his was. Let me give you the priority at work, men. Everybody here that works for somebody, your priority is to do what your boss said. To do what the boss said. Biblically, God said, the leader is going to become the priority for the follower. Try it in the military. What's the priority for a private? Whatever the sergeant said. And if a private says to his sergeant, look here, buddy, I've got some priorities in life. He's going to be moving truckloads of sand from point A to point B worthlessly until he learns what the priorities in life are. Assistant pastors. What's the priority? Well, I guess it's probably what the pastor says the priorities are.
Right.
Listen to this amazing scripture. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. When he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Listen. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Get that? Thou shalt be unto him instead of God. God told Moses that he was to be God to Aaron. Not taking the place of God, but that Moses' priority will become Aaron's priority, and that's how God planned it. Now what's the goal? Moses better be right with God. Husbands need to be right with God. Parents need to be right with God. Why? If we're going to succeed, we better get everything in its proper order. If you don't have it in its proper order, we're going to have a mess.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Moses' word was to have power over Aaron, the Bible says. Now, that's point number two. Stay with me now. I'm in a hurry. Everything that I've said here, I said I'm trying to help you get an understanding of getting proper order in your life. I've taken four or five different areas, husbands and wives, children and parents, the pastor. We've talked here about employers and employees and military, all of it. Listen, let me explain to you. You go to the Bible, God gives you an order for your responsibilities. So I sit down, I make this list of all my responsibilities, I go to the Bible, and I start looking at how God would prioritize them. Success is not just in knowing what the Bible says, but in doing it. Success is not just in doing what the Bible says, but in doing it in the proper order or priority. Listen, the Bible tells me that there are certain things that I can do as a Christian, but there are some things if I did them all the time. Did you know that if all I ever did was study the Bible, this church would fall apart?
Right.
I've got to get up and preach it. I've got to pray. I've got to go soul winning. But some of us, we get on things and we're not using God's order for them. Now, here's what we've done. We wrote down a responsibility list. Then we went to the Bible and said, now God, I want to take what's on my list and I want them in biblical priority. So I'm virtually going to rewrite my list now. I'm going to take list number one and rewrite it according to the Bible. Number three. Now you need to assign each of your duties the amount of time it takes to accomplish them. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:5, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. God said a wise person knows how to discern time. So I made a list, I went to the Bible, I prioritized the list, now I need to assign an amount of time to that duty so I can get it done. Of course, begin with the most important duty and work your way down the list, assigning an amount of time to each of them. You'll give your prominent duties bigger time. You'll give more time to the duties at the top of your list. So what are we doing? I've got a list. I've put the list in God's order. Now I've got to give some time to that responsibility so I can do that responsibility. This is the way that you keep those least important things from dominating your list. Most of you that don't pray, it's because you didn't set a time aside to pray. So all the little things of life ate up your prayer time. And you need to learn how to push the little things of life to the bottom of the list and put the big things in life at the top of the list and give a time to them and then do what you're supposed to do. This is the way you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in life. You may find little time for some things. There are some things I'd love to do. I just don't have time to do them. They're not bad things. I just don't have time to do them. I love to hunt. I will not let my love of hunting keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do for this church. I think I love to hunt as much as you do. I have to keep myself. Hunting will not make me a success in the ministry. I know people that have to give up some hunting time. Why? They've got to pray. They've got to read their Bible. They've got to work on their bus route. I'm for hunting. I would love to do it a lot. But I got to be careful. Sometimes I have to push it at the bottom of my list. There are some people you're not as successful as what you ought to be because you do what you want to do instead of doing what you're supposed to do. You've got to do what you're supposed to do if you're going to be what you're supposed to be. You may find little or no time for some things. Listen, prayer has to get a lot of my time. Bible study and reading gets a lot of my time. My wife would tell you, I'll get up in the morning, and there are times when I'll spend 4 and 5 straight hours preparing sermons. Every day. Why? It's a priority. You've got to be kept a priority. It's a big deal. Now, there's some things that are a big deal to you, too. So, here's where we're at. And I need 30 more minutes. I'm not going to take them, but I prepared a list of responsibilities. I went to the Bible and let the Bible determine what came first, what was the big deal. Thirdly, I have to assign a certain amount of time now to get that done. Now what do I do? Next thing I do is I've got to set a time to do it. What I did just a moment ago is I said, well, it's going to take me 30 minutes to accomplish that, so I've got to give 30 minutes to it. Now I've got to figure out where do I put that 30 minutes in my life. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now realize you have some duties. Make a list of those duties. Put them in God's priority. Assign 30 minutes to this one and an hour to this one and 20 minutes to that one. Next thing I do, I've got to figure out when in the day I'm going to do it. Now I've got to schedule time to do my priorities. If you don't schedule or assign the time to do them, the lesser duties at the bottom of your list will eat up your things at the top of your list. Lesser duties try to steal priority slots from greater duties. Successful people, this is how they control their living so they're successful. You got to take time now to do them. You put them in slots called living by schedule. Now, you live by it. Now, that's been very, very simplified, but yet this is how it works. I write down my responsibilities. I order them according to the Bible. I figure out how much time each responsibility needs. I set a time in the day for that responsibility. I don't let something at the bottom of my list take the place of something at the top of my list. And then I make myself do what I plan to do. It's called organizing your life. Did you know that Jesus never called us Christians? You know what he called us? Disciples. Nowhere in the Bible are you called a Christian by Jesus Christ. But you are called a disciple. You say, what's a disciple? A disciplined one. That's where the sermon title comes from. I told you, the sermon title won't make any sense until I'm at the end of the sermon. What it means to be a disciple, you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Jesus called us the disciplined ones. You will never be what you're supposed to be until you get your life in order. And I've told you today exactly how to live your life. Live it on purpose. Decide what you're supposed to do. Decide God's priority. Do it. Give an amount of time to it. Put it in a time slot and then do what you're supposed to do. Some of you would be more successful if you just go to work when you're supposed to go to work. But we let life happen to us instead of us happening to life. Someone here today, we've pushed a reset button. He said, I know this, and I've got to get back to it. I've got to start living my life in a more organized fashion. Some are saying, I've never heard this before. I'm going to start living my life on purpose. Some, you'll just be glad that we're going to dismiss in a moment because we have no intention of letting the sermon change our life. If you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you something. The very next thing on God's plan for your list is you get saved. You're not saved. You say, what's the priority in my life? I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. I promise you. I'm 100% sure the next thing in God's order for your life is that you get born again. That you get saved. Brother Bajan, I'm going to pray for you. For sure. It's in my schedule. I'm not going to do what everybody else will do. Pray for you. They don't pray. I'm not going to work in. You're already worked in. So I want to do something great for God. You'll do it on purpose. Want to be a disciple? You have to live your life like that. Disciples aren't people that float through life. Disciples are people that do what they do on purpose. You see, your flesh does not want you to be a disciple. The Spirit says there is a time for everything. Now you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and you let God control it every minute of every day, and you'll get something great accomplished in life. Some of you have not touched the hem of the garment of the success you're to have in your Christian life because you dabble. You dabble. Get it together. The sermon is how to be a disciple. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.